Welcome to the I Have ADHD podcast, where it's all about education, encouragement, and coaching for adults with ADHD. I'm your host, Kristen Carter, and I have ADHD. Let's chat about the frustrations, humor, and challenges of adulting, relationships, working, and achieving with this neurodevelopmental disorder. I'll help you understand your unique brain, unlock your potential, and move from point A to point B. Hey, what's up? This is Kristen Carter, and you're listening to the I Have ADHD podcast. I am medicated, I am caffeinated, I am regulated, and I am ready to roll. How are you? How are you? So glad to be here with you today. So happy that you pressed play on this podcast. You're not gonna regret it, I promise. Today on the podcast, I have a dear client and focus member, Sue Peters, with me. She is here to talk all about her ADHD experience and specifically her experience with chronic pain as it relates to ADHD. That's not something that we've talked about before here on the podcast. And I am really looking forward to getting her perspective because I think a lot of you audience members, a lot of you listeners are really going to be resonating with her story. But before we get started, I want to remind you to make sure you're subscribed to this podcast. You don't want to have to go looking for it in the podcast ethers. If you remember it and you're like, what was that podcast again? I need to go remember. I need to go find it. Just go ahead and press the follow button and subscribe right now. And if you want to give back to the show, I would so appreciate you hitting that 5-star rating. It makes a huge difference, first of all, in my dopamine levels. And second of all, in other ADHDers' ability to find the show and get the help that they need and deserve. Thank you. I appreciate you so much. And now let's get to this amazing conversation with my client, Sue. I know that you're going to be so inspired by her story. I am so inspired by her, her journey, her story, and all of the amazing changes that she's been able to make. So Sue, hi. Thank you for being here with me.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's so exciting to have you. I think I've coached you maybe twice in the last couple years in Focused. And whenever we've been able to connect, it has been, in my opinion, magical. I've really felt just like a deep connection with you. So I think our listeners are going to feel the same way. Would you just share a little bit about your ADHD journey? When were you diagnosed? How did you come to the diagnosis?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed when I was 23. I had actually dropped out of college, failed out of college, and then tried to go back and did the same thing. And I was noticing that something just wasn't right because I shouldn't be failing because of intelligence, because I knew all the stuff. I just couldn't do it. Yeah. And I didn't understand why. And I just felt like there was something there. So somehow I managed to ask for help, and I actually got a free diagnosis by going to see a psychologist. I don't know how I did it. Somehow the planets aligned and I was able to get a diagnosis. So it came out with ADHD, learning disabilities, obviously low executive functioning. I feel I was sort of part of that first group of adults and first group of women to be diagnosed, especially being 23. Mm-hmm. But I was diagnosed and then sort of left with it on my own. There was nothing really given to me. There wasn't even go to your doctor and follow up about medication. There was nothing. It was like, here's this piece of paper. Have a nice life.
Wow.
So I didn't really know what to do with it. I was already sort of in debt, so I couldn't really go back to school. I had just gotten into a serious relationship. I was working full time, and my full time job was going okay. The pay was good. It had all the extras that one would want in a job. Was it fantastic? No, but like it checked all the boxes. And in the serious relationship, I could see it going places, which fast forward, we'd be married for 16 years. So, you know, it's a good thing I did that. So I didn't know what to do. I was like, what do I do? So I just sort of kept that paper in my back pocket. And when I did weird and wonderful things, I was like, oh, that's my ADHD, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I felt finally heard, but I didn't know what to do with being heard. There was nowhere to go with it.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't in school. I wasn't doing it. I think I had an understanding of why, but that was about it. I was working. And when I would say weird things or, blurt out those interesting facts or not be able to focus and write an email, I would just blame it on my ADHD. But I wasn't given any tools. I wasn't given any, I think maybe they recommended reading a book, but we know how well that went.
Yeah, that's such a dumb thing to recommend to an unmedicated, untreated ADHDer. Like, yes, we enjoy books. I mean, many of us do, but we need a baseline level of executive functioning to make that happen first. So, did you ever seek treatment? Oh.
No, because I didn't even know that I could get treatment. Because basically, my opinion, so this would have been 2005. So my understanding of ADHD was the stereotype was little boys running around, super duper hyper. I remember I had a boy in my class that had ADHD, and the teacher would always tell him, "Did you take your pill today after lunch?" So that was my understanding of ADHD. So sort of in my brain as bad because I didn't want to be like the little boy that the teacher talked to. I think this is important. I reached out for help when I was in grade 5. That same teacher that I'm telling you about that was mean to that little boy, I reached out when I was in grade 5 because I knew something wasn't clicking. I knew I was intelligent. My marks did not match what I thought they should be. And I was told that I watched too much TV and I spent too much time talking, and it was my fault.
Oh, honey.
So that was my opinion of ADHD, and that was my opinion of getting help. That I asked for help when I was, so I was, I think you're, when you're in grade 5, I think 10 or 11. Think I should know that having children.
I mean, in the US, that's what it is. Yeah, 10.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, our system is the same. That was my opinion of getting help. So it wasn't really worth asking for help. So for me to even get help when I was an adult was a challenge because I was afraid I would get rejected again.
Do you remember how it felt to receive that information at age 10? Did you feel rejected?
Oh my gosh, I still feel it today.
Honey.
Still feel it. I still feel it. And the fun part, because I live in a small community, I still see that teacher.
Oh.
Yep. Good times. I felt like my opinion didn't matter. Like I didn't know what I was talking about. I have learned, though, I want to say that I have learned that just because somebody is an expert doesn't make them an expert in you. You may be a medical expert, like or whatever expert, but I'm an expert in me, and that's really what I've learned. Because I felt like my voice didn't matter.
So many of us who have not gone through any kind of healing journey carry around that 10-year-old self with us, and it's the 10-year-old self that makes decisions. It's the 10-year-old self that doesn't reach out for help. It's the 10-year-old self that is afraid of rejection and is afraid of being shut down. And then I hear the adult version of you, Sue, saying, "Now I know that I'm the expert in me."
And I don't know if you remember this. A year ago, you told me, "Sue, it's time. You need to go to therapy." Told me. And I knew that it needed to happen, but I was afraid of it happening because I did not want to have that 10-year-old feeling again. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to have that. And while I knew it needed to happen. And you told me it's time. It's time. Because I think a year before that, you told me, have you gone to therapy? And I was like, I don't really want to. I don't want to feel the gross. I don't want to feel the gross. I don't want to feel it. I don't want to be 10 again. But when you told me that second time, I think I had done some healing already. And some understanding of myself, that that's when I went. And that's when I learned that I am my biggest asset, but it took me to be until I'm over 40. Right?
Samesies. And I want to normalize that for us, for those of us, like listener, if you're like, I still don't feel like an expert in myself and I'm 50 or 60, like it's never too late. It's never
No.
too late, but it does require some vulnerability, which I think is what you're expressing, Sue, is like the vulnerability to be exposed, the vulnerability to feel a certain way that you have been trying to avoid for your whole life, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, honey. Yeah, those conversations, like sometimes in focus, we coach on time management and we move on with our lives. And other times we have these like very deep connected conversations where I really want to stay within the scope of my expertise and make sure I'm not stepping out of my lane as a coach. And there are some times when I just have this very felt sense within me that like, this is not my area to be working on. Like this is something deeper, and whoever is in front of me in that time, it was you, Sue, like deserves more care than what I can offer within this context. And anytime that I can advocate for someone getting even more care, even more support, even more validation, even more healing, I'm gonna do it.
And I am grateful for that because the amount of growing that I've done in that past year. So you reckon, I just want to say that you recommended therapy and you're like, it's time. And I sort of sat on it for about a week. I had a Facebook ad that came up that said, new therapist coming, discounted rate because they were students. And I thought, well, I don't know. I think this is a sign. So I clicked on the ad and I submitted it. And it's now been a year since that. And the amount, and it took a while to process through it. But it's been the gross feeling, the yuck feeling, feels so amazing. I never thought I would actually say that. That I actually just had a session this morning and it was gross and I cried. But I feel so good afterwards because I feel so emotionally light because I just, that 10-year-old self is not there anymore. Well, I shouldn't say that. The 10-year-old self is still there, but she's not weak anymore.
Oh, she's not calling the shots. She's not running the show. She's not directing your life.
That's right. And we actually worked through and gave her a voice. And I actually worked through speaking to that teacher.
Oh my gosh. I'm covered in chills.
Not like physically, but like we practiced and my therapist said, now pretend I'm that teacher. What do you want to tell me? Well, that felt so great. And I was like, peace out. You're no longer with me.
Wow. And
so
did that allow you to feel like that was kind of like a closed chapter rather than something that was still nagging at you?
Yes. Yeah. So, but that also helped in my ADHD healing because then it made me feel like my ADHD isn't weird anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not holding me back. It's a thing I have. It's who I am.
Sure.
I can't change it. It's who I am.
But it's also not your fault. And that's what the teacher was trying to do, is say, you're the problem here. You're doing everything wrong. You're not trying hard enough. You're watching too much TV. You're being distracted. You're like, you are the problem. And so to reframe it as like, no, ADHD is the problem. And I am a delight.
That's right. And I'm fun.
Do you mind sharing with us what you said to the teacher?
I think I just basically told him that he doesn't get permission to tell me what I am. He doesn't get permission to tell me that I can't ask for help. He doesn't get permission in my life. That's
I'm
pretty
just
much
like
sort of some of it.
cheering. Okay, so take me to the point where you had to advocate for yourself because you were experiencing physical symptoms that were out of the norm. Can we talk about that? Because that was prior to your joining Focused, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
What was that like for you?
So in 2015, it was December 3rd, I woke up and I couldn't walk. And I was in extreme pain. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you do like your morning stretches, like I couldn't move my leg. And I didn't understand what's going on. I couldn't stretch and everything hurt. Everything hurt. It's a pain that I have never experienced. I have had pain. I have two children, so this pain was different. So I was able to be diagnosed within a week, which is very unheard of. Again, the stars and the planets aligned for me to get the right doctors at the right time, and the everything aligned. I was diagnosed with a condition called transverse myelitis. It's a cousin to MS, basically a lesion on my spine. So my life stopped, like both physically and literally. So what was, even though I was untreated, undone anything with my ADHD, I had a full-time job. So I had routine. I built a routine for me, had to do things. Even though it was retail and I sort of had different shifts, it was 40 hours a week. Everything was the same. It was scheduled and planned out for me. Now my life stopped. There was no schedule. There was no nothing. There was chronic pain. And with a neurological disorder for me, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, so I don't want to speak in broad terms. I want to say for me, emotional pain also was felt physically.
Oh, wow.
So it even, and that's even positive. That's even happy things I felt physically. So if anybody's experienced nerve pain, for me, my pain was, I describe it as fizzy and inside, and you can't take Tylenol or Advil or any sort of thing to cure it because it's nerve pain and I had nerve damage. So I basically sat around and did nothing for a year and a half.
Whoa.
Well, I did physiotherapy and like had to go to a lot, I had a lot of appointments. Oh, you want to talk about exhaustion? There was appointments, I couldn't drive, so I had to get people to take me to places. I had to so try and get ADHD to function to multiple appointments in different cities because I live in a small town and everything is sort of like outside of us. So I had to organize things. And that's really difficult. I definitely missed a couple of appointments.
Yeah,
I
I'm
was
sure.
definitely late. Definitely late. Definitely missed up things. I had to rely on a lot of people to be my person. So I also had, I think my kids were 5 and 7.
Oh, they were little. Oh, you had little kids, and you were you immobile? Were you able to walk by this point, or like how long did that take?
So because of, I don't want to say I was lucky, but I was lucky. It hit just below my hip.
Okay.
So I could move. Not well. Very slow. I had a walker. I was 34 and I had a walker. I couldn't drive. I had to depend on it. Just for fun fact, my feet were always cold and my hands were always hot. So I lived with heating pads on my feet and ice on my hands. So, like, I also had, my kids were both in dance and my 7-year-old just started her first year of competitive dance. I don't know if there would be any dance moms out there know what that's like. That's not easy. I didn't have very many fine motor skills as well, so I had to try and, try putting on false eyelashes on a 7-year-old when your hands don't work. Good times.
Oh my gosh.
So there was like I had to do all of these things, but my brain was done. I didn't have that routine anymore. So I had to try and build a routine with having absolutely no skills, which was incredibly difficult. This was also really before like Google Calendar really became a thing. It's not like now where everything is in my calendar. Like even the smallest things are in there. And I have no shame for that.
Yeah, same.
Not only was I physically like not able to do things, mentally sometimes I was just so exhausted that I couldn't do things. I was able to fall asleep because I was just so tired. Like I would just crash. I remember we had to go to like a family function, and I couldn't even stay awake through that because I was just so tired.
You talked about like spoon theory, which I had referenced in the podcast on capacity. And you mentioned that like you are using spoons from decades in the future. Like you were borrowing spoons constantly.
I was always borrowing spoons. Because I mean, I feel as moms were just borrowing spoons anyways.
Sure.
So then you have, so now I have to borrow physical spoons, but then I had to borrow emotional spoons. A year before my illness, my daughter also had major surgery. So we were all emotionally recovering from her major surgery. So we weren't healed yet. Like, if you want to talk about PTSD and trauma, we were still trying to handle that, which is why I think my body was just so tired.
Is a neurological disorder like the one that you have and have experienced, is that potentially caused by trauma and PTSD and emotional issues? Like, is that a possible cause?
It may not be a possible cause, but it was caused by a cold. So I got a cold and it's autoimmune. So instead of going to, you know, my nose to fix everything, it decided to go hang out with my back. But was my body just so emotionally weak that a cold was able to knock me out the way that it did?
Wow. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. So when it hit me, I was already running on spoons from the year
Right.
going forward. Like I
Right.
was already not functioning well. So if we go back to the spoon theory, and that's when I had heard about the spoon theory, was when I tried to do some occupational therapy and they tried to tell me about the spoon theory and they said, well, you need to save your spoons. And then I said, yeah, I'm a mom. Please, no, that doesn't work. Spoon theory and momming isn't, they don't go well together, especially when the kids were younger. No, like they would still wake up in the night and do things. Just always tired. Loved it though. Like I'm not complaining about it, but that's just reality. So focusing and trying to do life was very difficult because I, one, didn't have energy to focus. I, two, didn't have energy to just do. Everything was falling apart. The house was a disaster. The kids missed appointments. I missed signing forms. I missed. Oh, I felt bad. I missed signing my youngest up for a thing. And I still feel it this day. Like, I still regret it. Like, I still remember. Do I hold shame and all that stuff? No. But, you know, do I wish that she could have got it? Yeah. But I didn't. And in a time where you would think doing nothing would be the most calming, and I know that we all sort of experienced that, you know, sort of doing nothing for a while, but I mean, really, I did nothing. And one would think, and I know should is not the right word. I know that's a bad word, but I'm going to use it. One should be able to organize life because I had nothing to do. I couldn't. I couldn't organize things. I couldn't get to things. I was missing appointments. I had nothing to do all day. How could I forget that I had to go see the neurologist? I mean, that's the neurologist. You don't forget those appointments when you have a chronic neurological disease. I forgot those. Everything was just so chaotic. I did not enjoy that feeling
Oh my
of
gosh. Yeah.
chaos. It wasn't fun.
Yeah.
Basically, I bloated through. It was not fun, but like it definitely put strain on relationships being a parent, relationships being a wife, relationships being a daughter, relationships, friendships. They all sort of went, well, friendship definitely got left behind.
Yeah.
And people sort of moved on. Not, and I don't fault them for that. I wasn't there. I wasn't present because I forgot everything. So with my condition, like I said, mental energy takes a toll and I couldn't focus. So even if I experienced something happy, like a dance competition and my daughter won a trophy, I had to come home and sleep.
Yeah.
because I was excited. Excitement caused fatigue.
Wow.
Like one would think excitement wouldn't cause fatigue because you'd be running on adrenaline and you'd be running on like dopamine, like hello. But
Yeah.
dopamine was exhausting.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Hey, Kristen here. I'm the host of this podcast, an ADHD expert and a certified life coach who's helped hundreds of adults with ADHD understand their unique brains and make real changes in their lives. If you're not sure what a life coach is, let me tell you. A life coach is someone who helps you achieve your goals, like a personal trainer for your life. A life coach is a guide who holds your hand along the way as you take baby step after baby step to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. A good life coach is a trained expert who knows how to look at situations, all situations, with non-judgmental neutrality and offer you solutions that you've probably never even considered before. If you're being treated for your ADHD, and maybe even you've done some work in therapy, and you want to add to your scaffolding of support, you've got to join my group coaching program, Focused. Focused is where functional adults with ADHD surround each other with encouragement and support. And I lead the way with innovative and creative solutions to help you fully accept yourself, understand your ADHD, and create the life that you've always wanted to create, even with ADHD. Go to ihaveadhd.com/focused to join. And I hope to see you in our community today. So how does one heal from this kind of condition? Because when I met you was it 2 years ago, I think, right?
Yep.
I believe you were still struggling. And I'm curious, like, what has been helpful to you in your healing journey?
My physical healing journey was early diagnosis. And I did take a lot of high dose steroids, which are not fun, but that helped me physically. Physiotherapy was amazing. But when I met you 2 years ago, I started a regression, if you will. I was losing function in things. My body was not working the way that it had. Obviously, we had, as a society, been through some really stressful things.
Right. We were just coming out of the pandemic at this time, I believe.
Yeah. So, and at home was not going very well. We had some home life challenges that I think I've shared with you, that a daughter that was really struggling with things, and Ben, who also has ADHD. Surprise! And so, and online school and the stresses of that. So that stress set me back in my program. So I needed to go back to physiotherapy and retrain my nerves.
Oh.
Do things again. Like, I had to bring out my cane because I had lost. So the physical stress of trying to get through the pandemic, the physical stress of trying to do all of this and not do all this, put me back physically 2 years.
Oh, wow. Oh, that must have been so hard.
It was challenging. So I was able to connect with an amazing physiotherapist, and I had actually been at the same physiotherapy clinic that she worked out of. So she had seen me. She saw me when I walked in with my walker. And I guess it was sort of like lunchroom topic. I was that young girl coming in with a walker because she doesn't look like she was in a car accident type thing. I wasn't wearing a cast. I didn't have any scars, you know, like what's going on?
Right.
So she had sort of seen me progress and had seen me walk out of there essentially without a walker later on, right? So she was around for that. Again, because of the small community, I connected with somebody that said I really wanted to work with her, and they made it happen. And
nice.
So I got to work with her, and she said, we just need to retrain your brain. And you want to know what's funny is that she also knows a lot of people with ADHD. So she was like, we need to train your brain slightly differently than the way I would train somebody else, because she said you need to focus differently. So a lot of my physiotherapy exercises were slightly different, the same but different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So So I had to do a lot of things with my eyes closed, a lot of things with my eyes open. I wasn't allowed to look at my feet. I had to, because I have to, I literally had to think to wiggle my toes.
Oh my goodness.
I had to look at my toes and say, move.
Oh.
So she knew that I needed to be treated differently. And she also knew that because I needed to do exercises at home, she knew that I needed to be given them differently and taught differently. I needed to physically do it. She couldn't just hand me a paper and said, peace out, do
Yep.
these. She knew I wasn't going to do them, even though they were so important to me.
Yep.
So she was able to talk to me differently. And it was so great. And so I worked with her for about a year. Actually, that was right around that time. That last coaching call that we had, that was all right around that time. And
Wow.
she said some things that were very similar to you. She told me not only did I have to sort of deal with the trauma from childhood, she also said you need to grieve your illness and grieve what you left behind. And you need to grieve the loss. And I said, to me, grief is physical loss, like death.
Sure.
You know, like you lost a job, you lost a person. That to me is grief. And she said, no, you lost who you were.
Yeah.
You have lost your complete self-identity, because even though we know we're not supposed to identify as our job, I identified as my job, identified as a mom, I identified as a person that could walk, I identified as a person that could drive, identified as somebody that could, I can do it now, but somebody that could braid hair.
Right,
You know,
right.
like I couldn't do those things, and I can do all of that now. But she said, you need to grieve that loss. And I didn't understand what it meant. Because I was like, I don't feel like I've lost who I am. Yeah, I lost some of the things that I could do, but like I haven't, I'm still me, I'm still here. So she told me that, you told me that. Here we are.
It's so fascinating, and I appreciate you saying that because grief is such an important part of the journey of
Yeah.
healing. It's such an important part, whether we're grieving, like I came to an ADHD diagnosis late in life, like what maybe would my life have been before? Or I'm grieving, like I'm seeing my childhood through the lens of reality and it was really, really destructive. And I'm grieving that. Or I'm grieving like the person that I maybe would be if I was not dealing with this illness.
Right. Yeah.
Grief is such an important part of our lives that we don't ever want to deal with.
That's not fun. It's not fun.
No, it's not fun.
But once you deal with it's much like, you know, how you talk about that ADHD task that we do, like check the email, like, and you're like, it took us 5 minutes and then we're done with it. And like, well, that was easy. Why didn't I just do that first? Not that dealing with grief is easy, but it sort of made me feel that wasn't as bad as what I thought it was going to be. It wasn't fun, no. But when I was done with it, like, wow, I sort of wish I did it sooner. But I know if I didn't do it sooner, I wasn't ready. So I
Yeah.
wouldn't have got the full benefit from it.
That's so good.
If you want to tie it into the two focused, I joined 2 years ago. I joined because I was on TikTok, like any normal person in 2021. I was on TikTok. I saw this amazing woman dancing, and she was talking about ADHD and making me feel normal. Even though I told you normal is a drier setting, she made me feel normal. She made me feel heard. And I don't think that she knows the impact that she has on changing my life. So shout out to Camden, because honestly, like that day that I saw her TikTok and she was playing your podcast and she was just saying, and you were talking, I can't remember what you're talking about, but I heard that podcast and I was like, that's me. This can be me. This I have the ability to do that. And I heard that,
So everyone go to TikTok or Instagram and find Camden Hainsworth. She is a beloved member of our focus community. I had the privilege of training her as a coach last year. She is an incredible human. So make sure y'all go give her a follow. She's the one that's going to be dancing on TikTok, not your girl, Kristen Carter. I'm never going to do it. I have paid Camden to do it for me. That was like years ago. And I'm glad that I did, because then I was able to welcome somebody like you, Sue, into focus. But yeah, everyone go follow Camden. She's amazing. So,
and I also got to be part of her coach training.
Oh, so cool.
She did her coach training with me. So I've actually been coached by her too. And that was just luck of the draw. So I don't know. Somehow I keep getting the good luck of the draw with all these things.
You really do. Like you've been dealt a couple like really tough hands, so to speak.
Yeah.
But you've also really been taken care of in some ways. And I'm so glad to see that.
And Camden, like, honestly, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here. Well, maybe I would have, but I wouldn't have found this path as easy
as
I did.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So thanks again.
It's awesome. So you found the podcast.
So I found the podcast, and I'm going to do another shout out, and I'm going to sound like a weird fangirl. And I know we talked about this, but I want to make sure that this person knows that I'm not weird and stalkery. So I heard a very similar podcast to this. You were talking to focused members, and you were talking about how focus helps people and how what they have exactly the same thing that we're doing right now. And there was a couple of people on there, but the person that stuck out the most was Franzi. And even though we're on different continents, we're a different continent, we are totally completely different people. She has a different life than I do. She was speaking as if it was me talking, how she was describing struggles she was having and how she was able to work through those struggles and be on a healing journey. I thought, I want that to be me.
Wow.
I want that feeling of having a path forward. I want to be able to have an option of having a path, because at that time, I didn't even feel like I had a path, because I had lost my job. I was working part-time, basically what that's all I could physically do. And even that was a struggle. And when I heard her talking, I don't even know what she was talking about, but the way that she sounded with calmness and with ease, and before this was hard and now this is not as hard. I was like, I want that feeling. She said that, and I actually didn't sign up. I signed up for individual coaching.
Oh,
because I thought, oh, I don't want to do group coaching. That's weird. I don't want to share my story. I don't want to share it out. Here I am on a podcast. I don't want to share my story.
The irony. It's so good.
I don't want to tell anybody about my anything.
I'm so glad you're saying this, though, because I think a lot of people do have that thought that, like, which is fine. Like, focus is not for everybody, and that's totally fine. But I think that that is one of the drawbacks, is like, oh, like to be vulnerable in a group. Like, I don't want that. So you sought one-on-one individual coaching. And did you find that to be helpful?
No.
Oh.
Because it wasn't. And this is nothing against that coach, because I imagine this coach listens to this podcast. It was nothing against that coach. It was because I needed not rigid, because your programming isn't rigid, but I needed structure. Because I didn't know what I wanted to, quote unquote, fix. Because I had nothing, I didn't have a job that I was struggling with. I didn't have anything that I was sort of like struggling with. But I was just struggling to like be.
Yeah.
There was no specific thing. So I didn't know what I wanted to fix. Is like, I didn't know what I'm using air quotes.
Yeah.
So I did my 10 sessions with that coach and realized that I needed to join Focus. So I did. I signed up and I did nothing.
Love
I
it.
did nothing. I floated through, I came to a few calls. I think I actually did a coaching session. It was so weird. I wasn't focused. I didn't know what I wanted, and I was so all over the place. It wasn't until last year, which again, last year was sort of the year. Last year I turned 40. So I think that had a lot to do with it, where I was just very impatient and just sort of told myself that I needed to do this and to quit procrastinating. Like
Love.
just do it. Just
Love.
do it. So that's when I really started working through the program. And also that's when the focus had changed to the tier system. And even though I was already an A-lister because I had already been in there for a year, I told myself I needed to treat myself like a new client.
Oh, I love that.
And I also, because I had listened to one of your calls about shame and guilt, that I had no shame and guilt of going back and being a new person, even though I should have completed everything because I'm an A-lister and I've been here for a year. And it's really funny that even though I was there for a year, you have to do stuff. It's not like osmosis. It's not like, oh, I've been here for a year, I'm cured. You
Right.
actually have to do some work.
That's good.
So that's when I really started investing in everything. So I went back in the private podcast. I didn't feel any shame or guilt if I missed calls
Good.
because I remembered my favorite person lives on a different continent and probably doesn't listen to a lot of the calls anyways because she's in a different time zone. So I'm like,
Yes.
well, if she's listening to the recorded calls and had that sort of success, why can't I?
So wait, we're still, and I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. I want to actually like highlight you still have Phronsie in your brain. Like,
All the time.
if Phronsie's doing this, I can do it too.
All the time.
That's
It's
so
very weird
beautiful. No, I think
for somebody that
it's
I've never met.
beautiful. But don't we all need someone that we're looking to as a
Yeah.
model? And so many of us just never got that in, like, from a parent or from an aunt or an uncle or a teacher. Like, when you're surrounded by people who are not that, like, how lucky are we to be alive in 2023 when somebody that lives in Germany or actually now England can be your like inspiration, and you can have a picture of like a map of like, I can follow in those footsteps and I can do it too.
So much. It's very weird that, and I've never talked to her. I've been on calls that she's been on. I've never talked to her. I've never told her this. So I hope that she's okay with this.
She's gonna love it. I really think she will.
But honestly, her telling her story, again, I
Yeah.
can't even remember what it was, but her feeling, the feeling that she had in her story is
Yeah.
what I resonated with, and that was what I wanted.
Let me ask you a question, and I'm not looking for any specific answer. This is truly curiosity. Do you feel like you got what you wanted, or are you still in process?
Yes, I think I'm in process, but I have that feeling of confidence, have that feeling where a path is going. I don't know where it's going, but I actually have a path. And I have the feeling of calmness. I have the feeling of understanding of who I am. I have the feeling of it's okay to struggle, and it's okay to ask for help, and it's okay to talk to, I mean, essentially you're a stranger, but I mean, you're not a stranger anymore, but it was okay to talk to a stranger in a different country because I'm in Canada, even though you're not that far away from me. It's okay to do all of those things because if I don't do it, do I want to keep having the same feelings that I'm feeling? To say, yes, I have found what I was looking for. And that now I'm in the process of trying to figure out essentially what I want to do when I grow up, because I've had to rechange everything. My life, my prospects that I was having in the company was I try, I sort of had a, how in big companies they have career goals and they make you do all these things. I had done all of those things and I had a plan. And now I have to figure out what I want to do when I grow up at 41, which is super scary and super not fun because like I also have to care for people and I also have to, even though my kids are now teenagers, I still have to, make sure they eat. Actually, more, I have to make sure they eat more now than they did when they were little.
I resonate with that. That's so
Yeah.
funny.
And they need to be in, I am basically like a free Uber driver. I'm sure you
Oh,
feel
yeah.
that.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. That's great.
So, yeah, I have found what I was looking for because I found a path. I don't know where the path is going. Is there probably lots of different paths on that path? Yes. But I actually found a path. And for me, that's what I was looking for. And I found it in the self-concept, and I had to do it three times.
You did that course 3 times,
I did. I didn't do the
girl.
workbook because you told me that I don't have to do the workbook and there's no wrong way of doing it. But I tried the workbook and I was like, no, too much trauma and all
Yeah.
this stuff built up from school, so no. I'm gonna listen. And I listened to it and then I went back and I watched it. And then I went back and I listened to it. So the very first course, even though I've been here for 2 years, I had to redo three times to figure out what I wanted. And or I still don't know what I want, but like I to figure out that path creation of how I wanted to go through. And now I have options. And now I sort of I know who I am and I know what I want.
Applause, just all the applause everywhere. I just love it because the person sitting in front of me is not the 10-year-old girl who was rejected, who was made to be the problem, who was carrying around the weight of shame and self-blame and self-judgment that was imposed by somebody else. The person sitting in front of me is a grown woman. I feel it. I sense it so deeply. And the fact that you are still in process of figuring out what you want, but you have the confidence to know that like you're gonna get there, you're going to figure it out. Like that's not a problem. I don't sense urgency. I don't sense panic. I sense a groundedness in I know who I am now, and now I'm gonna go figure out what I want.
Yeah. You know how I said I wanted that feeling? I found that feeling, and having that feeling is absolutely amazing. And I, yeah, I still have work in progress. I still have a lot to go, but I know that I can do it.
As we wrap up here, I'm wondering if you have any words of encouragement for any of our listeners who have ADHD and struggle with chronic pain.
I think that for me is being your own advocate and going through and finding a group of people that understand your feelings. I was very fortunate that I found a Facebook group. Again, I found a group of strangers all over the world that were able to help me feel normal. Again, I don't like that word, but I felt normal. I felt heard. I felt understood. So being able to find that community of people to connect with, to say, my hands feel like I was holding on to a blender all day.
Oh,
And somebody
gosh.
would say, I know what that feels like. Do you know how amazing that is when somebody says, I understand? And finding your community and not expecting and not looking for it necessarily in the most traditional ways. I think in what 2023 and the world that we live in, we have to look outside. We have to look differently. We don't need to be in a box anymore. I think that would be the biggest thing is, and surround yourself with the people that don't make you feel guilty for saying no.
That's so big. That's so big just as a human.
Yeah.
But then add in a human with ADHD and add in a human with ADHD who also experiences chronic pain, chronic illness.
Yeah. I had to say no to things. I said, I can't do it. I went to an event and I fell asleep at it because I was in so much pain sitting still, so much pain from having to walk into the event. And I said, I don't want to feel that anymore because I felt like I was disrespecting the people that I went with, and I was disrespecting the person that it was speaking, even though they couldn't have seen them. But for me to be able to then say to my friends, I'm sorry, I can't make it today. I'm really tired. And there was a small group of people that totally understood that. And that's what got me through. And lastly, asking for help doesn't make you weak. Doesn't make you a weak person. Honestly, I had to ask for somebody to come and do my dishes. I'm a grown up. I should be able to do my dishes, but I couldn't hold on to the plate and stand.
Yeah.
I needed somebody to come and do the dishes.
Yeah.
And I had a wonderful friend come over and do my dishes for me. And then she hung out with me for 10 minutes. She brought me coffee. And then she did the dishes. We talked and I said, I'm going to fall asleep. And she said, okay, great. And she left. And I don't think she knows how much of an impact that was, because I got to save those 5 spoons for when my kids came home. I got to talk to them.
Oh, that's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. Sue, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for tolerating the emotional labor of what it goes into just sharing your story. I know it's a lot, and like, you deserve a nap after this.
I probably will.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. I so appreciate you. I'm so honored to have you in our program, and it's just a joy. I just feel so lucky.
Well, thank you. Thank you for giving us the space to be us and not be ashamed to be us with all of our weird and wacky quirks and our fun sharing of information that nobody needed to know.
It's so great. I love it.
If you're being treated for your ADHD, but you still don't feel like you're reaching your potential, you've got to join Focus. It's my monthly coaching membership where I teach you how to tame your wild thoughts and create the life that you've always wanted. No matter what season of life you're in or where you are in the world, Focus is for you. All materials and call recordings are stored in the site for you to access at your convenience. Go to ihaveadhd.com/focused for all the info.